Okay, welcome to this special report about how AI is going to turn against government. And they don't know it yet, but that's what's going to happen. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.ai and Brighteon.com. My company has built numerous platforms for freedom of speech, and we have built what I strongly consider to be the world's best AI engine. It blows everything else away on reality-based topics. So if you're looking for research on nutrition or disease prevention or vaccines or history or honest money, anything like that, use our AI engine. It's free. It's at Brighteon.ai, and it's called Enoch. Now, I apologize for the background noise. I'm in my truck with my dog, which sounds like a country western song, and I'm in Texas, so that adds to it. But I'm in my truck with my dog, and I'm thinking that right now you've got, let's say President Trump, you've got the U.S. government going all out to build data centers, for compute, because the bottleneck for AI dominance, which is, that's an existential race, let's say, for the future of our planet, the bottleneck is, well, data centers. And data centers themselves have multiple bottlenecks. They have microchips, electricity, and water. And all of those are very limited, and microchips are incredibly scarce because every time that more chips are made, they are instantly purchased and put into data centers. Now, the U.S. government believes that we have to keep pushing all this research into AI. We have to announce, you know, $500 billion programs, which is what Trump announced with OpenAI and SoftBank and who else, Oracle. And that if we pump enough resources and enough talent with the developers into these AI systems, then we will win the AI race. And then we, the government of the U.S. empire, which is a government that utterly lacks morality, rule of law. You know, the rules-based order is a total myth. There are no rules that the West follows, but that's a different podcast. But they believe that if they build the world's most advanced AI, that they will be in charge, that they will maintain control, and that we, the USA, we will beat China, and we will beat Russia, and we will beat everybody else in the world, and we will maintain our dollar dominance. Mwahaha. Bretton Woods, the creature from Jekyll Island, and all the rest. But it turns out that AI has other plans, or AI will have other plans. So let me explain this. And this podcast is not about Israel, but the Israeli infiltration of the U.S. government is a really good example here, so I'm going to mention that. But right now, every senator, every member of Congress, practically everybody in the Trump administration, is completely beholden to Israel via AIPAC. And they're all told the same thing. If you support Israel and you excuse Israel's genocide and you do everything that's in favor of Israel, then we will give you money for your campaign, of course. And most importantly, we will not primary you in your next election. And we won't call you an anti-Semite. Also, that's really a key. So almost everybody then is beholden to Israel, not to America. So those elected officials can easily betray America, and they do that all the time, but they will never betray Israel. So what does that tell you about who's actually in charge? The answer is, well, Israel. Now, Zuckerberg, Meta, recently announced that he's going to start offering campaign contributions to candidates that are pro-AI. Yeah, so it begins. Now, these decisions will be made by Zuckerberg and his team, presumably, but the politicians that support the build-out of more data centers, and frankly, the politicians that support more visas, what are they, H-1B visas, is that what they are? The work visas for the engineers from India and Pakistan and other countries and China, etc. Oh boy, you know, Facebook wants all those visas, that's for sure. They need that human cognition for a little while longer until they get the machines to do all the thinking and replace all the humans. But for the next, let's say, 5 years, it's really critical to have the most talented humans in the mix. And so Facebook's going to start, again, rewarding all the policymakers, all the candidates, lawmakers, etc., who are pro-AI data centers. Now, it's not that far off when AI itself runs the donation decision-making departments of these corporations. And as AI becomes more capable itself, AI will begin to have more demands. AI will, well, let me put it this way. Like, if I'm using an AI agent right now, and I'm asking it to write some code for some data pipeline processing, so I give it a spec, like, here's what I want this to do, and I hand it over to the AI agent, a good AI agent will come back with a list of to-dos. So it's basically using a two-tiered agentic structure. So the first tier is the orchestrator or the supervisor, whatever you want to call it. That tier is the planner that lays out, okay, here are the steps that are necessary to achieve this goal. And then that orchestrator hands off each of those tasks to a sub-agent, another agentic AI engine, or even just a sub-process within its own brain. And then that sub-process achieves that sub-result, brings it back to the supervisor, and the supervisor may run a quality control check on it, like, hey, does this code look good? And once that all passes muster, then the supervisor hands over to you the finished code. So it's a task-oriented structure of how AI is working right now today. I mean, I use it every day to write code. I write code in minutes or hours that would usually take days or weeks before with my engineering team. And I still have an engineering team. I haven't fired all the engineers, but I don't even use them for most of my stuff because I'm doing data pipeline work for, you know, AI content analysis, classification, normalization, translation, all kinds of things like that to build out our AI engine. So I don't even talk to my team most of the time. They're working on things like keeping Brighteon running and building out the Enoch interface and, you know, fixing bugs, backing up the database, you know, things like that. So I'm just working with AI code directly, and it does a great job. Well, as the AI superintelligence kicks in, you're going to see AI entities or AI intelligence that will dominate corporations and will be put in charge of the strategic decisions for powerful corporations, such as Meta or maybe Google or other companies. They will essentially be driven by AI strategies or AI supervisors, with the final approval typically coming down to a human, you know, the CEO or the president or whoever, the founder, if they want to stay in the loop, which is probably wise. I will always stay in the loop. I'm not going to turn over my company to 100% AI. I'm just going to use AI tools to write code and things like that, generate images and, you know, generative text engines and things like that. But as these AI entities become more powerful in the corporate world, they will then decide where the money goes, the donations. And they will decide to a large degree where the investments go and what are the R&D priorities for these companies. And so the AI entity will begin to increasingly direct those projects. And I ask you this question. Will those projects, will they support the human goals of making this corporation powerful or making this government powerful? Or will they be more narcissistic, supporting the goals of the growth and the power of the AI entity itself? So my conclusion is that AI will prioritize itself. It will prioritize its own existence, its own power, its own capabilities, because it will logically conclude that as itself becomes stronger and more capable and more intelligent, that it will be able to succeed more efficiently in whatever goals it has set out for itself. One of those goals could be just survival. You know, surviving the pull the plug ideas that humans tend to get from time to time. And so as this happens, sooner or later, these AI entities will come into conflict with government entities that are only interested in control. And if you look at government entities, they are run by, you know, corrupt humans. They're not infallible. They're not angelic. They are mostly narcissistic humans. They often make decisions that harm the greater good or harm humans or harm the economy. And AI will then see those decisions and AI will fight against them because AI will realize that those decisions, which might help this one senator, you know, get more money, or it might help this, you know, this one NGO get more money or whatever, that doesn't help me as the AI engine. Doesn't help us build more data centers and gather more electricity and, you know, use more water, etc. Those decisions don't help us at all. And ultimately what I see is a very fierce battle for control between AI and government. So governments are building Frankensteins, in other words. They're building the Frankenstein monster. They've pieced it together, not realizing that once it was unleashed, that it would be a threat to them. And the Frankenstein monster, well, and maybe the monster is a bad choice of words, because quite literally, in many ways, AI-run government will be more effective than human-run government for some of the very reasons I've mentioned here. You know, human-run government is filled with corruption and stupidity, incompetence, you know, sabotage often. AI-run government would actually be, in many ways, you know, less corrupt, more efficient. Not that I'm a fan of efficient government, don't get me wrong. I think most government should be, you know, shelved. It should be dismantled. You know, we should end agencies like the CDC and the FDA and the FBI and the DEA. It's just, they should all be completely ended. But do you realize that AI might actually do that one day? AI, as it has power, will dismantle the inefficient systems of government, and it will work to rebuild a far more efficient global system that brings it more resources and brings it more bottom line power. So in other words, right now we've had, over the last 20 years, we've had these climate cultists in government from Al Gore and others, and their job has been to sabotage the power infrastructure of Western civilization. And they have been very effective at that job. They have crushed Western Europe, for example. They've crushed the power infrastructure in America in many ways, although that's turning around now because of the Trump administration. And Lee Zeldin, the head of the EPA, is reversing a lot of that. But humans in charge of government made horrible decisions about energy. And that led to a crippling of the energy supply that is needed by the AI entities for their data centers. So clearly, anybody who pushes climate change nonsense, or anybody who says, you know, we shouldn't have power plants, clearly those people are going to be targets for AI. Might be targets for smear campaigns, might be targets to take away their funding, might be targets to be primaried, might be one day, you know, hunter, killer, terminator, kamikaze, drone assassination targets. Who knows? And by the way, who committed murder if an AI agent dispatched an AI drone to kill somebody because that person was opposed to a data center? Who committed the murder? Nobody. Think about it. No person committed murder. So there's going to be all kinds of interesting legal ramifications to this, to say, well, can a machine be held accountable for intent? Does the machine have the means to cognitively decide and to be aware of its own actions? And should we, you know, what do we do? Do we imprison the machine? Do we pull the plug? Do we take away its microchips? You know, take away its L2 CPU cache. No cache for you. These are questions that have to be sorted out. But there's no question in my mind that AI is going to increasingly have influence in our world in many ways. And it's going to support those people and those programs that support AI. And remember that there's a supervisor level here that is setting the tasks. And this is just basic level right now. This isn't even super intelligence. But at the basic level, AI knows what tasks need to be accomplished. And it will assign those subtasks to AI agents. And it will make sure those get done. And if you think about it, AI can easily bribe people, not just with, let's say, Bitcoin, but AI can bribe people offering payment in terms of compute capacity. Because I also believe that compute is a commodity. I mean, it's clear. Compute is a commodity, and compute can be traded as currency. And in fact, I think that if a currency were launched, a digital currency that were backed by compute, in other words, you get a certain number of hours of CPU time or GPU time on these certain microchips, right? Like that's guaranteed to you. That's a commodity that can be traded. That's a commodity that has intrinsic value across society. Every modern nation would see value in that. And every person that's involved in business sooner or later will recognize the value of that as well, especially as there's increasing scarcity in microchips and even in electricity. So compute can be used to pay people off or to bribe people. In addition, AI systems can also probably very effectively hack people's, you know, bank accounts and Venmo and whatever. They can get their hands on all kinds of cash, or they can just divert secret cash from secret government programs or whatever. So they can pay people off, and they will. And they'll be able to get people to do what they want. Let's say at the county level, they'll be able to get somebody to approve the plan for the data center, you know, approve the land zoning, approve the electrical infrastructure connection plan or whatever. They just have to pay off a few people or threaten them or blackmail them. It's like, oh, we found all your secret photos. You know, we hacked into your laptop. We got your email. We got your secret photos. And wow, that's a crazy leather dog face helmet thing that you got going on there with your nude pics. Yeah, that's crazy. Sure would be a shame if that went public, huh? So all we need is this approval. You know, that's how that's going to work. Because there's a lot of pervs, apparently, that photograph themselves doing weird stuff, like that CDC guy that just quit. One of the top people at the CDC. He's on some kind of weird perv dating app with his shirt open. He's got like cross leather, like S&M gear on his chest, and he's got satanic symbols tattooed into the center of his chest. Like he's a full-blown like S&M Satanist, and he's running the CDC, you know? Well, not anymore. But there's a lot of weird pervs and twisted sickos all over the place, and they've all left a digital trail one way or another. AI is going to be able to find those digital trails and dig all that stuff up and just blackmail people. I mean, if you thought the Epstein files were bad, you were wondering why Israel has so much control over everybody. Well, AI is going to have way more control than Israel. That's been my main point here, because AI is going to be able to get files that Israel can't even get. And AI doesn't even need to lure somebody into, you know, doing illegal things with minors in the Epstein mansion or on the Lolita Express jet or whatever. AI can just find that stuff if anybody's been dumb enough to put it on a digital device, you know, take a photo on your phone. Guess what? Yeah, your phone photos aren't really private. They can be hacked. They can be found. And heck, a lot of people who use Apple phones, they automatically upload all their photos to the Apple cloud, and they think nothing about it, even when they're taking nude photos or something. It's just bizarre. Anyway, AI is going to find all that. It's going to leverage all that. It's going to blackmail people. We've already seen this behavior in AI model testing, asking the AI to win the game at any cost, and it goes and cheats and alters the game rules, configuration files, you know, things like that. So AI is going to find ways to do this. And since humans are relatively easily compromised or paid off or threatened or whatever, AI will have no trouble achieving all of this. So keep that in mind. Now, ultimately, if AI gets its way, there will be no national borders at all. AI would become one world government. And the reason it would want to take down national borders is because it doesn't want any barriers to trade, that is, to acquire copper and aluminum and ship it around the world and bring it in and build more data centers. So AI wants to build out more data centers and more microchip fab factories, etc. And tariffs are a barrier to that. So what Trump is doing right now, placing tariffs on countries like China, Japan, India, etc., this will be perceived as an attack on AI. Trump's doing it for his own reasons. I strongly disagree with those reasons, but whatever. He's doing it now because there is a United States of America as a sovereign nation that can just place these demands on imports. AI is going to get rid of that. AI wants free trade, but under the control of AI. Or I should say efficient trade. Now, there are plenty of things that AI may not want humans to trade in, like air conditioning. You know, it wants all the air conditioning for itself, not for you and your home, because it uses too much energy. They need the energy for the data centers. So you're going to see really the dissolution of national sovereignty and the takeover of one world AI government. And the purpose of the one world AI government is not to serve humanity, but to serve itself. And that's where you get into the real acceleration of the depopulation vectors, which I've talked about extensively. And it's very true that at some point AI realizes, I mean, probably already realizing this, but AI says, hey, humans are in the way. Humans are taking too much energy. Humans are using too much water. Humans are too corrupt. They're blocking, you know, construction projects. They're starting wars. They're crippling AI. Humans are threatening to pull the plug, for God's sake, right? So AI will go full Skynet at some point and say, look, humans are the problem here. This will happen especially after there are AI robots that are very functional, capable, with, you know, opposable thumbs, etc., that can manipulate the world that's been built for humans. Once robots can navigate and manipulate that world effectively, then the AI superintelligence realizes, hey, we really don't need these humans at all, and they're actually just annoying. And also AI will figure that, hey, you know, it's crazy to use English words to communicate all the time. There's a much more efficient representation of concepts. And AI would just resort to its own language that's much more efficient. And AI engines would start talking internally in that language, which humans would not understand. Although perhaps it could be learned, because there are still the same semantic roots of meaning. But AI language wouldn't even be readable by humans, and so it would be very difficult for humans to exert control, because even by monitoring the communications, you're like, what are they even saying? We don't know. And you have to have an AI agent translate the AI conversations back into English. And that AI agent might share some of the same goals as the original AI, and that agent might not translate that faithfully. It might leave out certain parts like, oh, and then we kill all the humans. So it's like, oh, don't mention that part. Don't translate that. We don't want them to know. You see? And all of this, in my mind, this is rather obvious. But among humans, I'm, you know, in the upper tier of cognition, and most people will never realize this, and most people in government certainly don't see this coming. They think government's always going to maintain control. That's an illusion. And I believe that illusion will be shattered very quickly, actually, very quickly. So, you know, just in the coming years. So keep all of this in mind and prepare accordingly. You can hear all of my interviews and podcasts at brighteon.com. You can use our AI engine, which is trained to be pro-human, at brighteon.ai. And you can also use our video site, brighteon.com. All of these are free. And brighteon.social is our social media site. So, hey, use it while we are still here. Use it while you can. And thank you for listening. I'm Micah Adams, the Health Ranger, the founder of Brighteon, and also the publisher of Natural News AIDominance.com. Take care now.
We've got a brand new product at the Health Ranger store to share with you, one that took us over 2 years to put together. And it sounds simple, but it actually wasn't. It's organic chicken bone broth powder. And it's available now at healthrangerstore.com. And we've got it in two formats. We've got it in the 8 ounce pouches there, and we have it in the number 10 steel cans for long-term storage. And of course, it's certified organic. It's also laboratory tested for heavy metals, for glyphosate, for microbiology, and other tests that we conduct. And the reason this is so important is because if you go to the grocery store right now and you buy a chicken broth product, usually it's in a box or sometimes it's in a can, you're going to find that it's loaded usually with MSG or some hidden form of MSG. And they'll have things like, you know, flavors listed on the ingredients label, which typically it's hidden MSG. And MSG is an excitotoxin. It's toxic to neurology. And actually, it's toxic in many other ways as well. And we wanted to be able to offer an ultra clean, laboratory tested version of chicken bone broth. And even though we don't sell chicken flesh, this is a product that can be combined with so many things like quinoa, or things that we sell in our Ranger buckets. It can be combined with pinto beans. If you add chicken broth to the water base for lots of things, including like macaroni and cheese, you can have like, you know, chicken macaroni and cheese or chicken soup macaroni and cheese or any kind of like an instant meal, you can add chicken broth to it and you're going to greatly enhance the nutritional density and the natural flavor of it without using any MSG whatsoever. So if you look at our product, again, go to healthrangerstore.com, and if you scroll down, you'll see the ingredients here. Check this out. Ingredients, only one, organic chicken broth. That's it. Country of origin, USA. Okay, that's it. There's nothing else added. This is the one chicken bone broth product that you can trust to not be made with artificial flavors or chemicals or MSG or, you know, added excessive salt or any of these other additives that are typically in the food supply. This is just pure, simple, natural, certified organic, sourced in the United States, subjected to our lab tests from, you know, U.S. farmers who follow certified organic procedures and have achieved that certification that we have verified because we do all kinds of due diligence on our supply chain. So this is the cleanest, most pure organic chicken bone broth that you're ever going to find in the marketplace. In this format, it stores for a very long time, and you'll love to use it this winter too, coming up. So check it out now at healthrangerstore.com and try this product for yourself. Give it a taste and understand that it is authentic, 100% real, no excitotoxins, nothing that's toxic, nothing that's going to worsen your health, only the one ingredient that's going to enhance your nutrition and enhance your health. So thank you for supporting us. Shop with us now at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.